MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warmer from the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pierce, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you. It's in segment number two. We're going to be talking with our good friend Tristan Freeman. He does great work over at Bussin' Brackets. We're going to be taking a look at a list that he put out on Monday of the top 100 most impactful transfers in college basketball for this upcoming season. I'm going to ask him first things first, just what he defined as impactful transfers, because as we know, with so many MVP awards, just with those conversations, many of you guys that follow the game of baseball are able to indicate, is that the most impactful player on a playoff team slash just the player with the best stats in general. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be looking at just how he evaluated players going up slash down a level. So guys going from the mid-major realm up to the high-major realm and vice versa. Guys that were maybe at a power school going down to the mid-major level. A few guys that he might be a little bit higher slash lower on than perhaps he was towards the beginning part of the offseason, and also what the Fardaz Amek injury means to Texas Tech as well. So we're going to be talking about that with Tristan Freeman in segment number two. Going to keep it to a two-segment podcast because I'll hit on the news and notes of college basketball that we saw from Monday here in segment number one, because we actually did see quite a few, and I do think that being able to give you guys a little bit more break-free content is very, very good. So we're going to do that here. And if you ever do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they meet us on matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. So that takes care of all the formalities. Did not get in any Twitter questions today, but as I've noted on this podcast quite a bit, we had so many guys enter into the transfer portal this offseason in the neighborhood of about 1,800 players, and over 40% of guys have not landed with a new college basketball team, so we might see some lesser moves here in the next few weeks, and we did see quite a few over the last, we're going to call it 48 or so hours, so I'll just round these up for you in segment number one, including one school that I did a little bit of a preview of, that they are bringing in three guys that they're going to look to help things out. First things first, we did see Jordan Booker. He was a relatively touted guy from New Mexico Junior College. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. So he played approximately 0 games at Tarleton State, and he averaged right around 16.5 points per contest. And Billy Gillespie actually used to coach at the junior college level. He has been a little bit all over the place, was thought to be a little bit of an impactful guy. So he is not going to be at Tarleton State for this upcoming season. Something else I talked about on the podcast in recent days with one of our good friends, Rocco Miller. He does a great job just taking a look at the scheduling aspect of college basketball. Is at Hartford, who was in the America East for so long, because they're dropping down to the D3 level, that they pretty much had a mass exodus in terms of guys that decided that they were going to be transferring out of the program. And that means that DJ Mitchell decided, you know what, since we're going to be going down to the D3 level and we're not going to be playing within a conference, I'm going to transfer as well. As Mitchell, last year, 7 points, right around 2.5 boards and 2.3 assists per contest. And very interestingly, he has decided that he's just going to be going to De La Salle University. That is a non-D1 school. I believe that that is a junior college school as well. So for instances like these, it makes it very easy for your handicap. All you need to notice that Mr. Mitchell, he is no longer with Hartford. He is going down to the non-D1 level. You're able to cross him off your list of guys that you need to evaluate for the upcoming season, and that's all that you need to do there. Peyton Melee, who he was a redshirt last year at Oakland, he has decided that he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level as well. That was probably not very difficult for your handicap to begin with, because you probably weren't expecting big things for him, but he's just out of the fold in general. Jalen Maglone, he was at Rider last season, and while he was with Rider over the last two seasons, averaged right around 2.5 points per contest, shot 37.5% from three last season, but really did not warrant a whole lot of minutes. He has decided that he is going to be going to East Stroudsburg, so that's another one of these cases in which you can just cross him off your list of guys they need to evaluate and move on, and that's what a lot of these guys are doing right now. A lot of these guys that they just haven't latched on with the school, they're just deciding that they're going to be playing at the non-D1 level. Some of these guys have impact. Some of these guys, like a McGlone, probably not. Someone like a Kyle Ross, who he averaged 0.5 point per contest at UW-Milwaukee, is going down to Thomas More, a non-D1 university, as another one that probably not impacting too much of what you were taking a look at for this upcoming season, but very easy for your handicap. John Tenorowitz, he was playing at Ohio last season, a guard that just did not see the floor. He is going to be going to Tiffin University. Saw 3 games of action last season and scored 4 points for Ohio. So not someone that was able to do a whole heck of a lot. This one was a little bit surprising in my opinion. Daniel Parrish, he was playing last season over at Florida International. He has decided that he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level. When he got minutes, he was okay. He was able to put up 2.5 points per contest. Someone that I thought was going to be able to bust out a little bit more for Florida International. He is going to be going to USC Aiken, which that's actually one of the better D2 schools out in college basketball. And he's going to be joined by Coastal Carolina's Deshaun Thomas. Thomas actually began his career at LSU. And for Thomas, I thought that he was going to be able to bust out for Coastal Carolina 2 seasons ago. He was able to put up 3.5 points per contest last year. He saw a fall off to 1.3 points per game. 6'10" gentleman that he had promise and just was unable to bust out. I believe that he was one of those guys that was a fast riser at the junior college level over at Florida Southwestern. So just someone that never was able to bust out. And some of these junior college guys, they do turn out to be a little bit of a roll of the dice. Jelani James, he was playing at Georgia Tech, redshirted last season. He has decided that he is going to be going down to Columbus State. And then you've got Eze DK. He was playing at Yale last season. And Mr. DK, he was able to put up right around 4.5 points per contest and did start in 13 games last season for a team that made the NCAA tournament. Shot 33% from three. This is actually a note of impact. He has decided that he is going to be going down to Eastern New Mexico. That was a little bit of a surprise, in my opinion. Someone that you thought was going to be able to play some solid minutes at Yale, and he has decided, you know what, we are not going to be staying at the D1 level. And then when it comes to the other way around, you've got some D1 schools that they've got a scholarship open, and they're looking to roll the dice on guys that were at the D2 level and were able to put up some numbers. And you've got a pair of them that came off the board in the last 48 hours. Alexander Gordon, he was playing at Palm Beach Atlantic. He has decided that he is going to be going to Fresno State. At the D2 level last season, he shot about 35% from three-point range, was able to register 5.5 rebounds per contest, and not necessarily the most primary of primary scorers, but a guy that was able to put up 9.9 points per game. Not a guy that is going to be coming into Fresno State and is going to command like a boatload of minutes or anything like that, but a practice body, which in a lot of cases, that is what these teams need as well, because we're seeing it with a team even like a Michigan State, because they've got a couple of scholarships open. They're dealing with a few injuries right now. That is going to be a little bit of an issue for them. So bringing in someone like Alexander Gordon, that's going to be able to help them out a little bit long term. And then you also did see Cameron Hobbs, someone that I actually think can get some minutes for this school, as he is going to be coming in and he's going to be playing for Morgan State after last season. He was at North Greenville, a D2 university, and while he was at North Greenville, was able to put up 11.6 points per contest. He goes into a Morgan State team that he's probably a little bit more three-point shooting. He shot only 31% from three, but he did also shoot about 85% at the free throw line, did a nice job. I'll be able to dish out the ball while getting right around 3.8 rebounds per contest. Someone that also does a very solid job. I'll be able to generate quite a few steals as well, as his steals per game last season, that was in the neighborhood about 1.4. So he is someone that I think could come in, perhaps be able to see a couple minutes, especially towards the latter part of the season. Then I did note that there was one D1 school that they are bringing in 3 guys for this upcoming season, as it is a Citadel. that is this school, and with the Citadel, a very interesting university because it is a military academy in which it's very hard to recruit from, so the team had to mix and match as best as humanly possible, and they are going to be bringing in Mike Green. He was at South Carolina last season, an afterthought at South Carolina, did put up 2.8 points per contest, but saw action in 4 games. He was a walk-on, so we are going to see if he's going to be able to get any minutes for them. Austin Ash, he was over at Iowa last season, and when I was at Iowa, he did see a few minutes last season. Once again, one of those guys that wasn't necessarily a highly touted guy, but was able to put up right around 3 points per contest. Shot 31% from 3-point range, so we are going to see if he's going to be able to make an impact for this team. And then Elijah Morgan is the other. He was playing at Notre Dame last season, and while he was at Notre Dame, once again, another guy that didn't see a lot of minutes, put up 1 point per contest in 6 games, but that rounds out a Citadel roster that, well, they needed bodies in general. When I did my conference preview for them, I had them dead last in the SoCon just because you had no idea what you were going to be able to get out of them in general. And, well, I still don't know what you're going to be able to get out of these guys from the Citadel. If there is an impact guy here, it is probably Austin Ash, and they still weren't being dead last in the SoCon. But we are seeing these rosters being rounded out in general, and we are seeing a few injuries that are popping up as well. We are seeing some things that are starting to come up that aren't necessarily so great. And hey, there are still guys that are transferring out as well. And we saw that with Texas Tech as someone who redshirted last year, someone who just I didn't think was going to be able to do anything whatsoever. And Ethan Duncan, he has decided that he is going to be stepping away from the Texas Tech program, and he has decided that he's going to be entering into the transfer portal. We shall see what happens on that front. Not a guy that I thought was going to be making any sort of an impact whatsoever with Texas Tech, but there is that. And then 6'10" DeSean Jackson, aka DJ Jackson. He was at Washington State last season. He, as a freshman, had 7 points, nearly a block, 4.5 rebounds per contest. Last year, 6 points, 4 boards, a little bit over a block per contest. He is currently away from the team. It sounds like he's dealing with medical issues that he did not disclose, but typically when you see out due to medical issues, it is something relatively serious, with him being, in my opinion, the primary big man for Washington State for this upcoming season. Certainly something that you want to note there, and we're going to see more and more of this pop up as practices are starting to ramp up for a lot of schools. This was day number 1 of practices, so we did get a bit of news there, and I do expect a few more defections, a few guys to transfer out after a few days of practices being like, oh, this coach is absolutely terrible. So I will keep you guys noted there. And a man that is doing a great job of noting all the transfers in college basketball, that'd be Tristan Freeman. He does amazing work over at Busting Brackets. He just put out on Monday a list of what he deems to be the top 100 most impactful transfers of college basketball for this upcoming season. And he's going to be talking about that list with me next year on Cusco Soups with myself, Greg Spears, and now a part of the Easy Family Podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back to Lucky Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Soup with myself, Greg Spears, and now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. And it's great to be joined by our guest. Tristan Freeman is doing great work covering the game of college basketball for Busting Brackets. As part of FanSided's college basketball coverage, he is out there in the great state of Pennsylvania holding it down, does a great job on the local scene in that college basketball market as well, but does a great job nationally and just came out with a list of the most impactful transfers for this season, 100 players in total. He wrote over 10,000 words for it, so I figured with all of his hard work, he deserves to talk about it on this podcast. And to be able to follow Tristan on Freeman, he is at Hoopsnut351 all together. And Tristan, great work on the article, and it is great to have you aboard. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, no, appreciate you having me on, Greg. This is the first day of many teams practicing, so it almost feels like it's the true preseason part for basketball.
Oh, absolutely. It is great that we've got college basketball back in our lives, and it is great that we're able to take a look forward now that rosters have really been fortified. And you came out with an article on Monday about your top 100 impact transfers for the season. And first things first, when you take a look at the word impactful, because I always do think that that's an interesting just sort of way to take a look at things. How did you grade it, whether it be via just a player's skill set in general or based on how much they elevate the team? Because we always have this debate when it comes to like most valuable player. Is it like the best player on the best team, or is it the player that actually performs the best, has most gaudy numbers, what have you? So I just want to get your just thoughts and how you define the word impactful for this article.
When you have 100 guys and basically all newcomers to the rosters, it's more or less a guessing game. You're sort of just predicting which players can produce, you know, good enough statistically with a certain role and then help their teams prospects are winning. So say you look at Soleil Boom, who I had in the top 30, he's a really good mid-major guy, but there are probably guys that were lower than him that are better. But Boom's going to be the starting point guard most likely for Xavier. And as he goes, the team goes. So if he has a big impact, then they're going to be a tournament team. If he doesn't, then they're not. So I'm sort of assuming that all of them will do well at their spots, but which ones will actually have the biggest impact, per se. So guards probably got a little higher boost than big men, because for the most part, big men outside of the superstars are role players, but the guards, they single-handedly can determine the outcome of games.
And I'm so glad that you bring that up with guards as well, because I do feel like the guards are a little bit more boom or bust when it comes to transfers as well, just because with guards, they've got a little bit more that they have on their plate. When it comes to a skill set like rebounding, it feels like it's one of those cases where you either have it or you don't. No doubt, coaching is going to be able to bring out a little bit more in terms of it, but I do feel like it's a little bit easier for a big man to come in midstream rather than a guard. And did you weigh out when guys made their decisions to transfer as well? Because I do take a look at a lot of guys in recent years that have transferred late, and some of those guys have been your most likely bust candidates.
It's sort of horror, because I had Emmanuel Acott on the list. And on one hand, you know, it is a decision that was fairly late. But on the other hand, his skill set just automatically makes him an impact candidate, because he doesn't have to score 15-plus points to have the impact. He's a ball handler. He has great size. And I think that's going to have him have success in there. And considering how difficult it is just to compare all these players going different stops together, I didn't want to add that element, because that was just going to make me frustrated even more.
Yes, that is always very difficult, so I cannot blame you on that front. As Tristan Freeman, who does great work over at Bustin' Brackets, he is joining me on the podcast. And what I do like about your list as well is that if you took a look during the offseason at a lot of the, and I air quotes, your top transfers, yours are a little bit different than that. Now, with regards to someone like a Kendrick Davis, if you wouldn't have had him in the top 20, which you obviously do have him in your top 20, then it'd be like, okay, maybe we're going off the deep end a little bit, because you do know that Kendrick Davis just has a lot of talent. He's going to go into that Memphis team, and he's going to be able to make a big impact. But when you took a look at your list, were there maybe a few guys in general that you were maybe a little bit higher on in terms of how they're going to be able to fit and the transfer impact that they're going to make, as compared to just how they graded out in terms of some of these top transfers lists that we were seeing in the offseason, or vice versa? Maybe a guy that a lot of people had as like a top 15, top 20 transfer that they went to a school where you think that maybe their impact will be minimized?
Yeah, I think a good example on both sides. One, I had Mark Sears, the Ohio transfer, going to Alabama. I had him in the top 10. It's risky, though, because we've seen a number of mid-major point guards go up to a power conference level and struggle. But I think Sears' his shooting ability alone allows him to play off guard. And he was highly efficient there. So I think that's going to translate a lot easier than others. And considering that Javon Quinterly is out, he's going to be someone that I could see starting on day one in such an offensive-friendly system. So I think his risk factor is going to be mitigated, and I'm sort of high on him. I'm high on Alabama as well, so that sort of matches up together. Then on the other side, you look at Jalen Bridges. I had him in the top 40, but I think some people have him top 20, top 10, and there's a lot of hype when he entered the portal out of West Virginia, but he's a great athlete, and he has potential to be a scorer, but he's going to a Baylor team where he's going to be at best a fourth offensive option at all times, because the three guards in the backcourt, you look at Keontae George, LJ Cryer, Langston Love, and all of them, they're going to be the focal point. So I wouldn't be surprised if Bridges produces the same numbers, which is around 8-5, but obviously on a much better team, and if he's a good enough defender for them, he'll certainly have an impact that way when it comes to them being a title contender.
Oh, I do agree with you. It's joining me on the podcast. We do have Tristan Freeman of Bustin' Brackets, and I know that in terms of your most impactful transfers, a lot of the guys that they did make it to the top are guards, and I do think rightfully so, because I mentioned it a little bit earlier. These guys are a little bit more boom or bust. If the guard is able to boom, it's going to mean a lot for that team. And heck, if the guard doesn't boom, that's an impact to the negative as well. And I do think that that is important to take a look at. And how important was it to take a look at guys that maybe are going to smaller schools and identifying, hey, if this school is going to be able to make a run in the NCAA tournament, or perhaps in the case of like a low to a mid-major, if they're able to win their conference tournament, win the regular season in the conference, it is going to be based on this guy, even though maybe they didn't put up the world's biggest numbers. Maybe they're going to an environment where they're just going to be seeing more in general.
Yeah, I wanted to include some mid-major guys that definitely could fit in that category. I think one guy that comes to mind is Eric Gaines, who averaged 9 points a game at LSU, which doesn't seem like a ton, but going from the SEC, where you prove that you can be a role player, then going down to Conference USA, he's someone that could be a star, and he's going to play next to Jordan Jelly Walker, the Conference USA Player of the Year. So he's someone that they not only can have put up a lot of stats, but basically play a huge role in them getting back into a tournament, and based on how good their roster is, can make a deep run. You look out west with Andre Kelly, the Cal transfer who averaged 12-8. He's going to go down to the Big West, to UC Santa Barbara. He's basically going to replace Amadou Sow, and the Gauchos are going to be once again a preseason favorite in the Big West. And if Kelly showed that he can be a good producer in the Pac-12, imagine what he'll do down there. He's someone also made the list. And then another candidate I had sneaking in was Earl Timberlake, who was the former top 50 prospect, played at Miami and Memphis. Really just couldn't get a role, but now he's going all the way to the America East and Bryant. And I think there's an argument that he's going to be one of the 4 or 5 most talented players from day one in that league. And if he can stay healthy, can easily break out and be a really key piece for them as they look to win the conference in their first year there.
Yep, I think that he is going to be absolutely massive, and I love what you said about, as I always like to call him, Andre 3000 Kelly, going from Cal, where he put up 8.5 rebounds per game in the Pac-12, and he goes out to the Big West. He should be just an absolute terror in that conference, and we're talking a little bit about big men right now, and I think that this guy is very important to note as well, because someone that was in the top 20 in terms of your list, and rightfully so, Fardaz Amek, we found out a few days ago that he's dealing with a broken foot. He's going to be out for quite some time. We don't know the exact timetable as of right now, but we know that he's not going to be suiting it up for the beginning part of the season. And I know that he was an impact transfer for you, and I just think that he's a big impact guy in general for Texas Tech. And I think that it is going to be interesting to see what the Red Raiders are going to be doing now without Amek, because I feel like he was going to be one of the bigger breakout guys for a Texas Tech program that we've seen it from them year in and year out, be able to utilize these transfers to the best of their abilities. Some of that also, while being 6'11", was able to pop threes last year while still pulling in over 13 rebounds per game. What do you think this means for Texas Tech in general? Just because with Amek, you can't think that he's going to be ready to go much before, we'll call it, the middle part of the season. And I might be being a little bit optimistic there. And just with dealing with a foot injury for a big man like this, I feel like that's pretty devastating.
And as talented as he is, it still wasn't going to be 100% guarantee that he transitions to the Big 12. Going from the WAC to the Big 12 is a whole different world. So even if we assumed that he was going to be able to translate and have a huge impact, that just makes it such a big loss for them. And, you know, their replacement, Daniel Baccio, he's a good defender, but he's not a scorer. So now you have Kevin O'Banner, who's going to have to be the linchpin of the offense. If he doesn't go for now 15 a game, where are they going to get their offense? You know, they have transfer guards as well, and Davian Harmon, DeMorian Williams. But who knows how this works? And there was already questions to begin with because of all these new faces after losing Terrence Shannon and Kevin McCuller. Now we're wondering, is defense going to be as good? Because as gaudy as the stats as AMAC produced, he still was a 2-time conference defensive player of the year. And I think that's what they're going to miss the most. Even if Baccio is able to replicate that, that's still a big body and a capable scorer as well. So Texas Tech is going to be in a bit of trouble, but Mark Adams' teams usually figure it out. I don't think this will be any different.
I agree with you. Mark Adams is a tremendous coach. And I mean, heck, when Chris Beard was there, they were able to figure it out then as well. And Mark Adams has been able to do a good job of seemingly sliding over and just keeping things firing all cylinders for Texas Tech. I expect nothing different here. And still having a guy like a Kevin O'Banner, who he was a big impact transfer last year, that is big for this team as well. Joining me on the podcast, we do have Tristan Freeman of Busting Brackets. And Tristan, I think that it was very important that you said that you were still a little bit unsure of how Fardaz Amek was going to transition from a lower level at the WAC, going up a level to the Big 12. No doubt, that is a big jump. And when it came to your list, how much did you take a look at both guys going from a low to mid-major level and going up to the Power 5, also coming down? Because we do notice it as well. Sometimes the biggest transfers in the country are guys that they only put up like 2, 3, 3.5 points, like 2 rebounds per game at, say, insert your power conference school. They go down to a little bit of a lower level and boom, they're able to break out. Because I always think that this is one of the toughest things to magnify. And I almost feel like the biggest booms have been a lot of these guys that have been at the higher level and have gone down. And even though there isn't a lot of tape on them to begin with, because they're just riding the bench, you still know that there's a lot of talent. Just because in order to be able to go to insert your power conference school here, you have to be really, really good at high school and just really, really athletic in general.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, it's really a guessing game when you go to that. Like, I don't think anyone, I didn't do one last year, but anyone who would do a top 100 power ranking from a year ago, nobody had Jamal King, who went from a role player at Marquette to Horizon League co-player of the year and a 20-8 guy. So those are kind of guys that you're just going to have to be pleasantly surprised. I really didn't have many of those types on the list, because if that was the case, I'd have to judge another couple hundred transfers who did that route. One player who I did have was Rocket Watts, who was a former top 30 prospect. It wasn't healthy last year, but just couldn't get it going Michigan State or Mississippi State. He now goes to Oakland, and the parallels between him and Jamal Cain is possibly the next great breakout star. You return Jalen Moore, who was the second leading passer in the country, allow Watts to play off ball more, he could potentially thrive. So he was the one guy that of that variety that I did have on the list. And if it happens, great. And if not, then you would all have to declare him a bust when it comes to his high school ranking.
Sometimes you just have guys that they just aren't able to break out. Like Tayshaun Cherry, for example, he was a former top 75 recruit, began his career at Arizona State. He went down to Grand Canyon last season, and now I think he's at an NAIA school, which that's just a precipitous fall off right there. Someone like Samuel Williamson, he was a top 50 recruit. Now he goes to SMU, which I think that that's actually very intriguing, because if you took a look at him 2 seasons ago at Louisville, it felt like he was starting to find his way. And then last year, everything went wrong for Louisville. So that is a very interesting case study as well. And I mean, just on that front as well, how much did you take into account high school recruiting rankings as well? Because I always do think that that is always something that is noteworthy, because I mentioned it with someone like a Samuel Williamson going to SMU. I still think that this guy has a lot of talent. Now, I think that taking a look at him, because he's now been in college for 3 years, I think it's very fair to say that he did not deserve to be a consensus top 35, top 40 guy. But I take a look at someone like him, I still think that there's a little bit of talent there. I think that SMU getting a solid player that is going to be able to do a nice job in the post for them. How much did this play a little bit of a factor as well?
I'll say in defense of Samuel Williamson, and he compares a lot to another five-star guy, Josiah Jordan James. He's just not really a scorer, but he's still an effective role player, quality rebounder and defender. So even though he may not be that guy that's on the all-conference teams, he still was an impactful player on Louisville. Of all the problems that the Cardinals had last year, it wasn't Williamson. He just wasn't going to be that role that people thought he could be when it comes to a pure score. But guys like Watts and others, they struggle to get on the court. They're only getting 10 to 12 minutes a game off the bench. You know, Williamson, he's a proven contributor. That's why I think he'll be effective at SMU. But who knows what's going to happen with these other top 50 prospect. You know, that's not necessarily my realm, so I'll take other people's word when it comes to their evaluation. So it definitely does matter, because otherwise I wouldn't have Earl Timberlake on my list, but I still believe in his talent and his potential. Same with a Matt Cross, who's now going to UMass. I think he's the kind of stretch forward that front court needs. So it definitely does matter, but at some point you stop being a former prospect and you are who you are.
Yep, no question about it. And I do think that someone like a Zion Herman as well, who he was a former top 100 recruit, he decided to go down a level and he's going to be playing for Bethune-Cookman. That is going to be a fascinating case study, in my opinion. And Tristan, you put absolutely amazing work into this top 100 list. I know that you have been working just tirelessly for this upcoming college basketball season. I do commend your efforts on that front. It is always great to be able to get you on this podcast. And I know that you've got a lot just in general in the hopper. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you.
You can find me on Twitter at HoopsNut351. You could also follow the Bustin' Brackets website and social media handle, which is at Bustin' Brackets. Working on SEC Power Rankings this week and just rounding out the month. And then just going to dive in specifically to team previews for the next month until we actually get some games on the court.
And Tristan doing a tremendous job getting set for the upcoming college basketball season. Just a tireless man in general when it comes to taking a look at the great game of college basketball. He's joining me quite a bit on this podcast and always lends tremendous insights and great nuggets, just like he did today. So big thanks to Tristan for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. And if you ever have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, got one of two ways to be able to offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at JRS41. Keep in mind, letters EM, name does not matter. As per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Another way, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated from there. You're preferring whatever you'd like to hear from this podcast via that 5-star review. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, you're able to subscribe or review your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And I will be coming at you guys every single day on this podcast here in the offseason news and notes of college basketball. We should have some conference previews up within the next few days. We're down to the Power 6 plus the American and the Atlantic 10. Looks like the Big East will probably be on tap next. I'm calling in my good friend John Fanta of Fox Sports for that. That'll probably be up sometime within the next 72 hours. So that is what we're looking at there. And then I'll probably try to do the American and the Atlantic 10 sometime in the next 2 weeks as well. So that's what's all on tap for this podcast. And what else is on tap is me getting at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.